Liverpool Live. During my 50 years on radio, it's been my very great pleasure to interview many people from all walks of life in the entertainment world. It was great to talk to Paul McCartney, who I met many times during my days at the Cavern Club. But here he is, opening very, very much about the way he feels about Liverpool in the current day and the way he thinks that they've been ignored by Liverpool as the Beatles.
Billy Butler on Liverpool Live with Morden's Dairies. Everything you need and everything you want, delivered to your door.
Liverpool Live. Okay, now here's an interview I did with Paul McCartney before he was Sir Paul. It was when he was promoting his new movie, Give My Regards to Broad Street. Paul talks about how he thinks Liverpool haven't cashed in on
one,
the Beatles.
Two, three, four.
Liverpool hasn't exactly played up the fact of the Beatles, has it, in tourist attraction. This year with the Garden Festival, it's the first time anything sort of big is like, and the Queen stood on the Yellow Submarine, and it sort of says, yeah, you know, it's all official. But, I mean, filling in the Cavern and stuff like that, I could have said to him, no, lads, you know, don't do that, you know, just save it, it's going to be all right.
It's funny, I used to always say about 7 or 8 years ago, one day they're going to dig up the Cavern, because of course it was never knocked down, it was just filled in but
yeah.
I never thought it'd happen, you know, as quickly as it has done,
really,
that they
yeah.
have actually dug it up. But I think if you
there's a need though, isn't there, you know,
definitely.
If you get a lot of if you go to America and you see the adverts for how the tourists describe England or how the tourist board over there sells England, you know, there's always obviously the Beatles and the Tower of London. These things that the Americans think of. And you've got to play it up. No sense you going down to Disneyland. This is sorry, we filled it in.
Which they're doing at last. I mean, if you went down Matthew Street, you'd be proud, because you'd know inside that you were part of the reason why Matthew Street is like it is now. And the Cavern Walks itself, the building is magnificent. It's a it's a work of art. And the street itself now is so bubbling and so vibrant. I mean, and that is down to the Beatles, you know, the fame that made them and that made Matthew Street. You would feel proud.
I mean, I'm for any little bit of that, any little bit of optimism that can creep in, you know. That's why I say the Garden Festival, you know, it seemed like it was going to be just an answer to, you know, stop people rioting, but it turned into something a bit more, really, you know, it turned into a good feeling, which is always very helpful, you know.
Well, tell us about Broad Street, because the premiere was in Liverpool, of course, which is great.
Yeah.
You had Hard Day's Night in Liverpool as well, didn't you, the premiere?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I remember playing on. We had to do a BBC show before it or something.
Right,
live.
Yeah. Did you do jukebox jury?
The worst ever. Yeah, and then did the jukebox jury.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
Well, tell us the story behind Broad Street. How did that start?
Well, after Hard Day's Night and Help, if you've been in films like that, it's a great feeling. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, like, I know Freddie Starr and that was in films before we were, you know.
Harlem Playground.
You know, and the Liverpool, a lot of Liverpool people are hams anyway, you know, and you ask them, would you like to
all
be in a film?
All of them.
Yeah, well, that's what, I wasn't going to say that. But that's true, you know, like if you say, do you want to be in a film? Oh, yeah, you know.
Film.
They'll go for it, you know. And so I'm no different, you know. So I always liked Hard Day's Night, you know, felt in the films, around all the film people. And I think it's actually a very interesting thing, you know, being on a creative team like that, where you've got clever people telling you stuff, and you get turned on all the time, you get interested in it all. So I like the lifestyle, I like the way of doing it, and I got to miss it a bit, you know, just recently. I just thought, well, I'm always making records these days, you know, I'd really love to have like a film or something. So I tried a few people, talking to them about various projects. I was going to do something with Willie Russell, as he's sometimes known. I'm going to do a thing with him that nearly worked out, and
I thought you would have been good at Blood Brothers as well. Did you see Blood Brothers?
Yeah, and I haven't seen the show, no.
Wonderful. Anyway, go on.
See, I hear it's great. I never even saw the George, Paul, Ringo, Bert and Tom. Mm. But, we were trying to do something with Willie, and he wrote something. It was really great, but there was just it fell through for a couple of reasons. You know, business people, too many said not to do it. Anyway, so that one fell through, but that was pretty good. Then there was another one that fell through, and there was another one I tried, something with Tom Stoppard and other people. But it never seemed to work, just couldn't get them off the ground. You know how it can go. They just stall the last minute, these little things. Anyway, I ended up thinking, well, I'll try myself, you know. I thought, oh, God, you know, I've had it, because, you know, if I write a screenplay, all the people are going to criticise me will be writers, and they're all going to do it. But I thought, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll get to that one. We'll cross that boat when it comes to it, as Kenny Dalglish once said. I heard you, Ken. He said it on a grandstand interview once. Anyway, so I just started writing it. Just it was in a traffic jam, and I just thought, I'll write it. And I'd never really been good at writing like essays or that kind of thing. It'd been all right on words for songs. But at school, I'd always had this block, you know, of I couldn't really do it. I hated doing it, the teacher says.
Most institute boys were like that.
Well, you know, the collegiate lads, I mean, obviously were a lot better on essays, could be in Ponsier.
I mean, do you actually do acting in it? I mean, are you acting?
Acting?
Like, acting in it.
Really? Well, yeah, I do, really. But, I mean, they say the hardest kind of acting is acting yourself. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I'm doing. It's really me in there, but a slightly kind of larger-than-life version of me. I mean, I go around in a pretty normal car because I don't really want to attract that much attention, you know. But me in the film goes round in a hot rod, kind of, you know, with a PM1 number plate. It's really a Ford Popular that he's rodded up, and he's got it. He drives it from the back seat with a long steering wheel, you know. So it's it's a bit tongue in cheek, all that, you know.
How did it feel working with Ringo again?
Great. You know, I've kept in touch with him over the years, and he's always got a lot of energy, you know, and he brings to stuff. You can never floor him, kind of thing. He's always got an answer, as you probably know if you've ever done an interview with him. And he's very straightforward, you know. He's got the blunt northerner bit, you know, where you ask him what he thinks and he'll tell you. So there are a couple of bits in the film we'd say to him, well, look, you know, Barbara plays a journalist who's interviewing him. We'd say, okay, the director rather would say, Barbara's going to interview you now, and ad lib it. Well, with Ringo, you can ask him to do that. You know, somebody like him, he's good enough to do that. So, like, the professional thing of just working with him, he's good, you know, he knows what's expected of him and stuff. He's done a bit. And on the personal level, you have plenty of laughs off stage.
Like, but did you see him in Princess Daisy?
Oh, wasn't he smashing? I thought he was lovely.
That was
appealed to me, love. I thought he was terrific. Oh, no, everyone was saying he was bad.
Terrible.
I thought he was all right, actually. I fancied him.
Your career seems to have gone on a ladder. You know what I mean? All the decisions you've taken seem to have worked out correctly.
Mm.
I mean, would you say that yourself?
Yeah.
Is there anything to change?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have the Beatles break up in a more seemly manner. Not just from the... In a, you know, so it was more pleasant for us all, because that could have happened. You know, with any group, it's nice when they finished. It would be nice to think that we didn't have to slag each other off just
do
quite
five
that
or
much.
Six farewell tours.
Do a little, well, like the other lads. Yeah. No, but, you know, it would have been nice if that could have come to a sort of smoother halt and we just shook hands and said, all right, lads, there you go. But, you know, a lot of bitchy stuff came out. We were being played against each other, certain managers. So you've heard what he said about you, haven't you? There's a lot of that went on, a lot of infighting. So that turned out all a bit sordid, you know, a bit... that wasn't too clever. But the rest of the stuff, you know, I don't really regret any of it. Certainly don't regret any of the Beatles bits. You know, there's bits in there you can criticise, but it was bloody marvellous for some kids from Liverpool, you know, to do that and to bring that spirit around. I don't know where we got it from, but, you know, we sort of brought it out, like, for a few years there, and there's still happening in the world. There's still people carrying on that spirit, you know, and some of those ideas that we come out with. But in truth, like, a lot of my success isn't due to me. See, I get this image of, you know, he's the one who did it all. I'm not. And a lot of my business stuff is just having very good people around me who say, why don't you do that? And I'm just not thick enough to say, no, I won't. I just sort of say, that sounds like a good idea. And I suppose, so if I'm good at anything, that's what I'm good at, like, is agreeing with good ideas. But I'm not actually coming up with all these good ideas, you know, that these successful moves my company's made. It's I'm very lucky to have kind of good people, you know, telling me how to do it. I mean, I always enjoy going back to Liverpool. It's like there's certain cities you can go to, and for some people, they're terror cities, you know, like Liverpool, Glasgow's another. But for me, I've always felt really great in them. I just feel like just one of the lads. We're at a do. Feels more like a do than anything, you know, when I go to Liverpool. We all stand together.
Butler on Liverpool Live with Morton's Dairies. Tradition, trust, and service with a smile to your door.
Liverpool Live. If you enjoy my podcast, there's more over the next few weeks. Don't forget to subscribe. Click the link below. It's free. Liverpool Live.